Okay, let's move on to 683.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with the State of Oregon for the use of U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance, Federal Fiscal Year 2015 National Sexual Assault Kit Initiative Grant Program funds of $125,657 for grant program expenses.
Okay, so there was a corrected amount there, right?
It's now correct. I had it wrong on the agenda.
Yeah, okay. And let's see. It's George Burke was going to be here. Is there someone here from the Bureau on this item? Okay. Anyone want to speak on this item?
Yes.
683.
I didn't have a sign up sheet.
I want to, my name is Mary Ng, and I'd like to thank you, even you, Nick Fish, for your participation in this. The National Sexual Assault Kit Initiative Grant Program is so long overdue. I remember the first time I was aware of the controversy in the law was when I found the Nick Kristof article in the New York Times sometime about 2009. And it was something like, is rape serious? And from a personal perspective, I'd like to share something with you, which I think it's very graphic, very embarrassing, very sad. But when I was abducted in Nashville, Tennessee in 2002 in July, I was eventually taken into a medical treatment due to the fact that I was I had aphasia. I was unable to speak. I was so traumatized I could hardly walk. I had endured a brutal sort of hostage-taking fight overnight. When I was put into a hospital bed, I was given a catheter to remove urine from my body, and I was under the unfortunate impression, oh, hey, somebody's doing my rape kit. And what actually happened is no, I did not get a rape kit in 2002 in Nashville. If I had, it probably would have sat on a shelf like all these other rape kits of these unfortunate victims of sexual assault. So I want to say from a personal standpoint, I felt extremely betrayed by the Nashville police. I reached out to them numerous times with witness, with information. We could have possibly gathered surveillance video. I wanted to investigate my crime, the crime that happened against me, and I was very willing to help. And what I found was that my rape was put on the back burner. I would wait for the police to show up at the crime scene where I had the witness ready to give testimony. And it was a non-event. It did not happen. I was not a human. My rights didn't matter. And it was very difficult to piece myself back. I had a very severe speech impediment. I had anorexia. I eventually just started eating ice cream. I was able to keep some weight on my body. But there is a lot of pain surrounding these issues, and I want to applaud every woman who's coming forward to explain the injustice she's experienced within the sexual assault system. And I think it's very, very difficult if we do not have women in policing. It is very difficult to report these kinds of crimes to men who are dismissive, if not victim-blaming. So I just talked to some officer, Mike Effie in Gorgini or Gorgano, and then it was Sergeant Jensen, about women in policing, and they gave me the number 16%. So that needs to change. We need 50-50. We need women options. We need trans. We need everything everyone needs, where anyone, including men or trans people who are victims of a sexual crime, can feel that they can reach out and get justice. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Again, for the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I do wish that this issue has been on the agenda here in different forms at different times, and it's been at the county. DA Underhill has a special staffed assistant district attorney to work on improvement of processing this type of work. But it's almost maybe a mistake that we don't have somebody from the city auditor's office and from the city attorney's office here, because what's going to happen is in a few years, y'all may have moved on to the next level of your careers, retirement, whatever, but the politicians who made the promises will have cycled through. We've had a lot of churn at the top of our police department. We have no idea who will be in leadership at the police department. But the liability for the city for women who don't get treated properly during their sexual assault investigation is still there. Those are the issues that the city auditor's office looks at and the city attorney's office is concerned. We've stepped away from the headline that's followed this issue for the last couple of years, and that in Multnomah County, We didn't talk about how many rapes there were, but we know that over the last 10 years, 2,000 kits didn't get tested. Now, that doesn't mean every victim was neglected in that situation. Many of them, their defendants pled, and maybe they didn't pay for the kit or whatever. But, you know, NGOs, nonprofits, and especially, as Ms. Ang and the people from LifeWorks have mentioned, survivors need to realize that they're the first line of defense and support in this situation. That these chairs that you all are seated in are only a four-year term. Things, as you've learned during your experience, slip through the cracks. I'm sure the mayor was rather shocked and pleasantly surprised to discover he inherited the mayoral office of a city that had thousands of untested rape kits, and we had to wait for the federal government to find money to rescue us to process that backlog. But I want to commend you for your work and your statements to make sure that that doesn't happen again, and I hope we succeed in those regards. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Again, I am an artist, and I have a hard time even trusting this, that you could even make a decision to for women that have been suffering from sex trafficking. When you bring in people like Rosenbaum and Watson, LLP, into the city to deal with people with mental health crisis, going through a sex trafficking, young women. I videotaped a bunch of women in Vancouver that had gone through sex trafficking, that had severe experiences. I have a hard time believing that you could make those kind of decisions when you bring somebody like Rosenbaum and Watson, LLP, into the city, who are creating health crises to sell their little crisis intervention team training into this city and into internationally, everywhere. They are creating a health crisis. A health crisis. Do something. You haven't showed up to any of those meetings. They're out of policy because they're supposed to have a meeting with you and the chief, and there is no chief now. Your chief is shooting somebody in the back, and you're keeping it a secret, and you're supposed to be making these kind of decisions. You, mayor, brought Rosenbaum and Watson into the city. You hired them. You hired Rosenbaum and Watson, LLP. You hired them and brought them into the city. And they are creating a health crisis where Amanda Fritz is part of that. She sat there and she smiled at me. She sat there and thanked the chair for her abuse. You're abusing a huge group of people. You are responsible, and you're not doing anything about it. What are you going to do about it, sir?
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, anyone else? All right, these are both. This is an emergency ordinance. Let's take a vote, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Sexual assault is one of the most underreported crimes in the city. It's one of the few Part 1 crimes that has increased in the last few years. So this is important that we do a better job. Testing, I think, is going to motivate victims to make a report when they are victims, and it will help lead to the identification of serial sexual offenders and will provide some justice and some closure for survivors. So I very much appreciate that we are doing this and doing it the right way. Aye.
Aye.